Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon.
Good morning. Who else makes their food with love? I do also. I am not the best cook in the world, and so once in a while, I make it with a lot of love. Welcome to City Hope. I am so excited to be in the house of the Lord with you today. It's Mother's Day, and I know that Mother's Day holds a lot of emotions. There's a lot of emotions of good, hard, sad, mad, etc. And so I hope that the Lord speaks to your heart today. My name is Shira, and I get to serve in the kids' ministry. And I love serving in the kids. Even though I teach all week, I love going back there and molding these young minds toward Christ. And if you're like, you know what, I'm not a teacher, but I think I could do that, talk to me later, talk to Miss Courtney later, and we will hook you up, because what a joy it is to get serving our kids. I'm going to highlight one other thing that's really important, and it is our prayer ministry. Miss Sharon is in charge, but if you have something that's heavy on your heart or you have something you're struggling with, we have people here that are committed not only to pray for you, but also to link in your arm and walk through just the, sometimes life is hard, right? That's right. So we're going to jump into God's word today. We actually are going to be in the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Joshua is in the Old Testament, kind of near the front. And I actually have been teaching about the Israelites in second and third grade since August. So I was trying to make a short version to Bobby last night about the Israelites. And he goes, Shira, you cannot say all that. If you explain their journey, that's all you're going to get to say today. So I'm going to try to really quickly tell you about the Israelites. They are a group of people that they started living in Egypt. They became slaves. They were in a very bad position as slaves. They were not treated fairly. And if you grew up in church, Pharaoh, ooh, baby, let my people go. Well, nobody knows that? Okay, thanks, Julie. Okay, Amelia knows it because I teach her. So Moses was called to go help free the slaves from Egypt. It did work eventually after the plagues and all kinds of crazy stuff. So they are free. They get to the Red Sea, and they think, huh, we don't have boats, okay? So the miracle of the Red Sea where the waters parted. And then if you know anything about the Israelites, we give them a lot of shade and a lot of like, but I think we're a lot like them. God would provide for them, and then they would get mad at him. God would do a miracle, and then they would go worship a false god. God just kept over and over doing great things for them, and they kept turning their back. So for 40 years, that's like since I was four. That's a long time. They were wandering in the desert. And during that time, that's what we're going to step into. We're going to step into Moses just died. He unfortunately didn't get to go to the promised land. So now their new leader is Joshua. So Joshua, and this is where we pick up in Joshua chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 14 to 17. Let's stand in honor of God's word. When the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant ahead of the people. Now the Jordan overflowed its banks throughout the harvest season, but as soon as the priests carrying the Ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water at its edge, and the water flowing downstream stood still. Rising up in a mass that extended as far as Adam, a city near Zarethan, the water flowing downstream into the Sea of Araba, the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. And the people crossed opposite Jericho. The priests carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood firmly on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all of Israel crossed on dry ground until the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan. So, this is where we're going to pray. Jesus, we love you. I thank you, Lord, just for the gift of being able to look into your word. Help us today. Speak through me like only you can do. I pray for the person who is here today, God, and it took everything in them to walk into this sanctuary, that you will be close to them. I pray for the woman in here who just desires so deeply to be a mom, and it hasn't happened yet, God, that you will be close to her. I pray for the student in the room who they're trying to figure out this God thing, that the Holy Spirit will speak to their hearts and show you how awesome and great you are. Use this time today, God, to change us to be more like you. In your name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. So today we are going to honor mothers, and not just for what they do, but for how they lead. And often a mom's leadership doesn't look really grand and bold speeches. Sometimes just simply stepping forward in faith when the path is uncertain. I read this quote a while ago, and it's so good, and it kind of encapsulated my message for today is, faith often means moving forward when the map isn't clear. Who knows how to read a map? Okay, I do not. I still have to put in the MapQuest how to get to Hilton Head Island sometimes, okay? I'm not the best map reader, but I do like to know where I'm going. I don't like to just get in the car and drive and not where I'm going. And so I'm going to tell you, I heard this story, and it's so good. You guys are going to love it. A few years ago, I'm saying this from a guy. His name's Carl. Oh, I know a Carl. It's from Carl. A few years ago, I, Carl, felt the nudge from the Lord to invite my grumpy next-door neighbors, Carl, to church. Carl was the kind of guy who treated his lawn like a sacred temple and glared at any child who dared breathe on it. So naturally, I ignored God for 3 straight weeks. But one Saturday morning, I woke up feeling bold. I threw on a hoodie, I grabbed some church invite cards and said, "Lord, I'm stepping out in faith. Let's go." What I didn't realize was that I was still wearing my Peter Pan pajama pants. Bright green, flying characters, glittery, that said never grow up on the back. My wife had bought them as a joke, but I was locked in. I wasn't going to let fashion ruin my faith. I walked over to Carl's door and I rang the bell. He opened it, squinted at me, and then immediately looked at my pants with a long pause. Are those fairies? Yes, Carl, but that's not the point. Somehow we both laughed, like a really deep belly laugh. We might be friends now kind of laugh. And that opened the door, not just to a conversation, but eventually to him showing up at church the next weekend. He sat in the back, arms folded, but he was still there. Faith is not always dignified. Sometimes the glittery pants and the awkward conversations is when you take that step and God starts to do his work. So we're going to look at 3 truths to remember. This is obviously for the moms in the room, but this is if you follow Christ. I have 3 truths that have been really heavy on my heart, and some of this I don't do well. So we're going to walk through this together. Truth number 1. Sometimes the waters don't part until you take a step. In the second part of verse 15, it says, "But as soon as the priest carrying the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water at its edge, and the water flowing downstream stood still." So if you're a visual person, the priest put their foot in the water, and as soon as they put their foot in the water stopped and went to the side. That is like a crazy miracle, right? And I love this because I think that faith is moving forward even when it's not clear. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And it's hard to take a blind step of faith, but I think the priest, because remember, the Israelites are a lot like us, okay? They knew how faithful God was. What about me and you? We know that God is faithful, and we all could share stories of his goodness when we've taken a step. And it's so funny, my dad, growing up, it made me think of this point of, you have to take a step, you have to take a step in faith. He would always say, "Close your eyes and open your mouth." And he would not give you the treat unless you did it, okay? And it was 100% of the time chocolate. But for some reason, when somebody asks you to close your eyes and open the mouth, you're just waiting for that one time. And I'm a pretty gullible, if you guys didn't know. So I would do it, and then now he does it to the grandkids. But it was always chocolate. It was always a treat, but there was some faith in that. And I think that they knew God could do a miracle, but they still were asked to take a step. Most miracles, you guys, don't happen until we are ready to see them, and we are taking a step toward them. And when the Israelites reached the Jordan River, remember, they've been wandering for 40 years, okay? They reached the Jordan. The promised land was in the other side of the river. And I think that this is kind of like life. They couldn't go around it. They couldn't go under it. They couldn't go above it. They didn't have any boats. The only way is go through. And I think that sometimes, I want you to think about a hard situation you're trying to walk through right now. Unfortunately, I would like to just go take a nap and pretend my hard situation doesn't exist. But the only way through a hard, maybe even heartbreak situation in your life is through. One little, it doesn't have to be a big step. One little baby step at a time. Parenting is like this. You don't get a blueprint. You don't always get confirmation ahead of time. You just step into sleepless nights, hard and awkward conversations ahead of time. And you step into whispered prayers at night and trust that God will meet you there. And for many Christ followers, we have to believe it to see it, right? And we know sometimes, and this is especially as a mom, boys tend to be a little less emotional, but God is teaching me that my emotions don't have to match up with my actions. So I want a step of faith. I need to step out and take a chance. Step out and take a step toward the Lord, even if I don't feel it. And I want you to think through a situation that maybe you're really discouraged about. Just nod your head if something in your life is very discouraging. I feel like I have numerous things in my life that are discouraging. And maybe you've been praying and praying, God, change my situation. Change this. Change that. And I'm going to just give you, and I want you to try just for this week. Stop praying for God to change the situation and start praying for God to change you. And when I start saying, God, not change my situation, which honestly, there's nothing wrong with that, right? But what if I started praying, God, change me, change my heart, and then just wait? Because when we say change me, we take a step into the water. Just like the priests say to get their feet wet, they chose to trust before they even knew what was going to happen. So as a child of God, we're not just called to go sit at the shore in a chair and watch everybody else, right? If we say we follow Christ, we are called to dive into it, to go into the hard places, to wear your Peter pajamas and go invite your neighbor to church. When you signed up to live for Christ, a little, billboard, you're probably going to look a little bit crazy, and that's okay. In Hebrews 11:6, this is a phenomenal verse. And without faith, it is impossible. Y'all hear that? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. In James 2:17, it says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. What is God quietly whispering to your heart this morning? Take a step, share your faith. Be more intentional in your parenting. Pray a little harder for your child who is struggling. Trust him enough that he doesn't always move the obstacles until we've stepped out in obedience. The second truth we need to remember, number two, remember what you are carrying. Down in Joshua 3, it says at the beginning, the priest carried the Ark of the Covenant ahead of the people. So if you are not familiar with the Ark of the Covenant, it is kind of like a big gold box. It was kind of God's presence used in the temple. It had in it, does anybody know what was in it? The Ten Commandments, Aaron's staff, and some pieces of something that fell from the sky. Manna, okay? And it was really, really holy. In fact, the Levites would hold it, and they held it on the poles. And it says in the Bible that somebody touched it, and they died. It was very, very holy, very sacred. And their steps holding, the priests were holding it with their poles. It was probably weighty, right? And it was also worshipful. And every step they took into the Jordan River was a declaration with their steps that God is with us. I pray that every step I take in my life, not every step because I have to apologize all the time, even when God is with me, but I pray that my life looks weighty and I can do it because God is with me. So we aren't talking about the priests or the ministers. Let's think about you. Let's think about me. If you're a mom, if you're a student, grandparent, we don't wear robes and carry gold-covered chests, even though that would be kind of cool. I actually would like to wear a robe. I think that sounds fun, huh? But what we carry is also holy. We're caring. We're called to shape a soul. Every lunch packed, every ride to school, every whispered prayer for my sick child. It's not routine. It's ministry, and it's sacred work disguised as daily life. If you aren't a mama, you still have a role. You are called to love and carry the light of Jesus in how you live. We are called to wipe the tears from friends' faces. We are called, oh, this one's hard, to act with grace when somebody is mean. Anybody else struggle with that one? I want to tell them how mean they are. You know, you're mean. We are called to listen when we're late for something. We are carrying the small actions of presence of God. We are standing in the water, bearing the weight of love and believing that God is using us to help carry. And this isn't necessarily just an encouragement. It's kind of a reframe on your mind, because here's the thing. This is for moms and parents. My kids are watching how I carry myself in conflict. My kids are watching me how I deal with that mean person. My kids are watching me how I deal with that coach who, honestly, I don't really like them, and neither do my kids. My kids are watching how I talk about their teacher. My kids are watching what I do way more than what I say. I like to think I'm a minister in sneakers or cute shoes, carrying the presence of God into our everyday world and into my home. Your ordinary is holy. Your love is a bridge. Your faith is a path. What about you, dad or student, single person? Do you remember what you're carrying? Are you carrying or trying without the Lord? Because we can't do it without God. We will drop. I'm going to step on your toes just for 2 seconds, and then we're going to move on. I can't just carry and be an example for the Lord when I want to. I can't just carry the Lord when it's convenient or only on Sunday morning, sometimes twice a month when I come to church. I can't just carry it around certain people. I have to live a life where my life is showing that Jesus is in control. I am not saying perfect, but I am saying, what are you carrying? Do others know it? What do your actions say? My third truth, this is my final truth. This one's real good, so just wait. Stand firm so others can cross. In verse 17, it says, a priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant, remember the holy box of the Lord, stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all of Israel passed by. They didn't rush. They didn't move. They stood still. They were firm. They planted. They were faithful until everyone, like thousands and thousands and thousands of people, walked by. I am very naturally not very patient. I think it's my just my personality. And so I have to really work on this. And I think of them standing there while thousands and thousands. I wonder if they're like, probably not, right? And sometimes God calls me, God calls you not to move the mountain, but to stand firm in faith and prayer and love, to be a steady presence that may help somebody else who is walking across their Jordan. And I have learned that in life. Bobby is so great at this. When my life feels out of control and I'm dealing with something that I can't even think about it because I want to cry, and he says, okay, babe, let's go serve someone. When you feel like you can't even necessarily get out of bed, do something for somebody else, and it will change your whole perspective. Because other people around us need help carrying across the Jordan. They need help in with the burden, not because of Shira, because Shira can't do it, but because of who is in me. So we picture a mother. We stand in the middle of emotional rivers. Not, you guys are not terribly emotional. family crisis, financial stress, teenage storms. Holding steady, my feet are planted where it's hard and where it would be easy to give up, but she stays. We intercede when nobody is watching. We wait longer than I planned. We keep believing and praying and showing up because we carry the presence of God into the messy middle and say, as long as it takes, I'm going to stand here. And that's not good parenting. I mean, it is good parenting, but that's Christ-like love, whether you have kids or not. It's a picture of who? It's a picture of Jesus, who he stood in the gap for us. He didn't move off the cross because he wanted to pay the price for us. It's a picture of the faithfulness of Christ who quietly echoes his sacrifice to us any day. So when we stand in tension, when we are in the middle of Jordan or someone else's Jordan and we're struggling, unmoved, we don't worry. Oh gosh, that Bible verse I say to myself all the time, don't worry. Give it to the Lord. I and you can become a living bridge, a testimony of steadfast love, a sacred shadow of Christ himself. This verse is so amazing. In 1 Corinthians 15, 58, it says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. I read this a couple weeks ago. I'm going to finish the verse, but I read this a couple weeks ago, and I was feeling real emotional that day. And I really wanted to move. And I just was done with the situation. And I was going to handle it Shira's way. And I read this verse, and I stopped there. Stand firm. Shira, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. A reminder that our unseen daily faithfulness, like a mother or Christ followers, is kingdom work. Nod your head if sometimes you feel like nobody sees what you're doing. And this isn't unattainable. This is not just for me because my husband's the pastor. I was going through this with this message last night, and I was telling Bobby, and he's like, you need to share that. Y'all, I mean this. If a dozen of us in this room decided, you know what, we're going to help carry the weight, we're going to take a step of faith. If 12 people in this room said, I'm leaving and I'm going to put on my Peter Pan pajamas and invite people to church, I'm going to share my friend's weight, 12 of us. If we did it, you guys, we would send revival at City Hope Church. Further than that, we would have revival in our community. We would have revival. This is possible in our workplaces. I feel like I'm a little more excited than you guys, but that's okay. And this isn't because of our perfection. Follow me around if you think, oh, Shira, I had to apologize to my kids while I was saying this message yesterday to Bobby. Literally, in the middle of it. Because one of my children didn't sweep the floor well. And I was like, what are you doing over there? I'm not saying this form of perfection. It's not unattainable. It is one moment at a time. We are servants of the Lord. And others will see Jesus in me if Jesus is in me. If somebody has no idea you're a Christ follower, you need to go ahead and check yourself. People should know. Once again, this is not perfection, but people should see a difference in me. There's a verse in Galatians 6, 9. And if you feel weary or tired, I have this one posted at work and by my mirror in my closet. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Thank you. Don't give up. You might be in a hard season. Don't give up. Jesus is there. This is attainable. His word will change your heart. It'll change your life. And maybe you're thinking, no, I can't hardly get up out of bed, let alone. I'm not special enough. I'm going to read you a story about this girl, Katie. And this is so, I like this because it's so, so simple and everybody can do this. Katie was a mom of three, juggling laundry, homework, and late night prayers for strength. She loved Jesus deeply, but she felt inadequate, like she wasn't doing enough for the kingdom. Man, where does the devil get us with that? She wasn't a preacher. She didn't lead a Bible study. Sometimes making it to church with clean clothes felt like a miracle. One morning, Katie was packing her 10-year-old son Daniel's lunch when she felt a quiet nudge, add an extra sandwich. She hesitated. Huh? For whom? She whispered, no answer. So she did. She packed two sandwiches and told Daniel, Daniel, if you see someone who looks like they might need a lunch today, give the sandwich to him. That afternoon, Daniel came home beaming. Mom, I gave the sandwich to the new kid because he didn't have a lunch. He said his parents are fighting a lot and they forgot to pack him lunch. He sat with me at recess and we talked. He asked, why are you so nice? And I told him it's because Jesus is kind to me. Katie's eyes filled with tears. That one small act, an extra sandwich became a seed. Weeks later, the boy's family came to church and his mom tearfully said to Katie, I don't know why you packed that lunch, but it made my son feel seen. It brought us hope when our world is falling apart. Katie never felt ready. She didn't feel special. But God used her ordinary act of obedience and being a bridge, even when it seemed so small, to begin an extraordinary story of healing and salvation. You don't need a platform to change lives. Just a simple act goes a long way. So whether you're a new mom, a spiritual mother, a grandmother, or maybe you're just somebody who is mentoring the next generation, you are called. If you follow Christ, hear me say this. We are called. Not just some. If you follow Christ, we are called to step into the waters. You may not feel ready. The current may look strong, but God is with you. He is in you, and the river will part in his time. This Mother's Day, we need to thank the women who did this in our lives, who carried us in prayer. I think of my mom. My mom is such a prayer warrior. She stood in faith, listening to the prodding of the Holy Spirit. And so I ask you in closing today, number one, what's your next step? Sometimes the waters don't part until you step. I think this could be a small step. What is it for you? Packing a sandwich? Writing a note to the turd bucket you work with? Being kind to somebody that's truthfully not very kind? It could be a small step, could be a big one. It could be you have $100 left in your bank and the Lord tells you, go give that $100 to somebody. The second one, remember what you were carrying. Y'all, we're carrying this because of Jesus, and it does not have to be perfect, but it must be real, right? When people act perfect, I'm like, come on. No, there's no way. Tell me the truth. People aren't wanting Christians to be perfect. They want real. They want authentic. And the third one is stand firm so others can cross. Do I have a servant-hearted mind? Am I ready to do a small act of Jesus? And so you may be just here this morning and think, Shira, I have no idea what you're talking about. Do you have a relationship with the Lord? Have you accepted Christ? Have you said, Jesus, I believe that you died on that cross for my sins. And I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my life. That is called the moment of salvation. If you say yes inside today, then you need a next step. For me, that step sometimes is just shutting my mouth. Anybody else? Sometimes that step is doing something embarrassing. Sometimes that step is to be humble. And maybe you think, well, that's too much. That's too much. I can't do that. You don't know what I'm walking through. I don't. I don't know what you're walking through, but the Lord does. And if anything I've learned in the seasons of my life, from when my kids were little to now, it's about my heart posture. Where's your heart today? And for me, if I don't wake up and spend time in God's word, I have a person at work. She can sense it. And she'll go, Shira, what's wrong with you today? And I go, you can sense it. I have not read my Bible yet. I'm feeling real fleshy today. So maybe that's your step, is opening God's word. Doesn't have to be hard. Start with a verse a day. Maybe you seek God's face every morning. Maybe there's a sin that you're struggling with. Choke the sin out. Get rid of it. Maybe for you, it's that you would rather honestly just be selfish because it's easier. Looking on Facebook and Instagram is a lot better than looking at somebody face-to-face and hearing their issues. I had somebody tell me recently, well, I don't know anybody who doesn't know Jesus. And I was like, ding, 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 there's a real big issue here. So I don't know what that is for you today, but I do know that God knows. I don't know the answer to your situation you're walking through, but I do know that He knows. I don't know the heartache, but I do know that God's there. I want you to bow your heads with me. When I get to heaven, I want Jesus to say to me, Shira, well done. I don't want to miss an opportunity because I'm scared of what people may think of me. I don't want to miss an opportunity because it's really hard to step into people's messy. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But if I know anything, it's that sometimes instead of thinking too hardly, I just need to be obedient to the still, quiet voice. I need to be obedient even when it's embarrassing. I need to be obedient when it's hard. And I pray that over each of you today, that we will take a step of faith and we will walk toward the cross. Jesus, we love you. I thank you, God, for loving us despite us. We are so undeserving. God, I thank you that you sent your son to die on the cross for our mess, knowing that we would mess up and we would have to apologize all the time. God, I thank you for that. I pray for the person in the room who is really struggling with, they don't have a relationship for you. I pray for Holy Spirit conviction. I pray for clarity, God, that they will see that you are the one true God, that you are worth it. I pray, God, that we will take that step of faith, reveal it to each person in this room. Whether it be a huge step or a little baby step, God, we just want to be used by you. We want to be vessels. We don't want to be led by our emotions and led by our selfish desires, God. Give us a thirst for your word. Give us a thirst to come to church and be with your people. I pray that we will look into the brokenhearted today and we will hug them and tell them that we are here, not knowing what to say. I pray for the lonely person today that you will be so, surround them with your presence and help them to see that they're not in this alone, God. I pray, God, that we are different. We are holy because you are holy, God. Help us to be willing to take a step. We love you. We honor you. Thank you for being a perfect example of what it means to be a Christ follower. In your holy and precious name, amen.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.